Are you among the millions of Americans having trouble sleeping? Do you know someone with obstructive sleep apnea who has to use a positive airway pressure machine just to sleep? Insomnia in the United States has reached epidemic levels, with the Centers for Disease Control identifying it as a reason for many other diseases and impairments related to well-being. Too many people use alcohol, over-the-counter, or prescription drugs to combat insomnia, but these effects are short-term solutions that can create long-term problems like addiction and even death. Cannabis use for sleep has gained in popularity as legalized medical and adult dispensaries are dispensing cannabinoids for sleep. But what cannabinoids and methods of administration are the most effective and the safest as you consider the over-the-counter and prescription drug medication use combined potentially with alcohol? This sounds like a recipe for disaster. On today's episode of Cannabis Nurse Truths, we present cannabis for Z's because we know that you can handle the truth about cannabis as medicine, even to help you sleep.
Here we are at episode number 13 of Cannabis Nurse Truths. Thank you for coming back. Every Wednesday, new episodes wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Spotify, Google, we're on iTunes, you name it. Just search for Cannabis Nurse Truths, visit the website cannabisnursetruths.com, and of course, follow us on X. We are at Canna Podcast. I'm Lee Foster, and she's Dr. Denise Foster. We're talking about sleep on episode number 13.
Nobody can sleep in the United States. We've created a nation of zombies who are no longer able to get adequate rest. Making me tired.
As a cannabis nurse, is sleep the number one thing that people come to you with? I feel like a lot of Americans are dealing with sleep issues.
Yes. It's interesting, the shift in what we're seeing over the last... I've been open in my shop now dispensing cannabinoids from the Farm Bill standard, right, from hemp, for the last 4 years now. And at first, it was more of a pain population. Pain was not being controlled, at least here where I practice in Virginia. Pain was the number one thing. And of course, as opioid mills, pill mills, pain management practices began to reduce their populations, their patients, and shutting their doors, it seemed that in Virginia, at least, when we legalized medical marijuana, or we legalized adult use marijuana where people could, in Virginia, grow their own plants at home, that population has shifted. We still have the pain population coming in, but the significant and acute chronic pain conditions seem to be treated now because in Virginia, everyone has an outlet for cannabis, either through a medical marijuana dispensary run by Virginia or through their neighbor who grows it next door and gifts it to them and says, here, I've got so much I can't use. Why don't you use it for pain? Now we're seeing more of a population that is complaining that they can't sleep. They more than likely can fall asleep, but they can't stay asleep. They wake up too often during the night, or they don't feel rested when they wake up. They take too long to fall asleep, and they might use other measures for that, such as alcohol, over-the-counter, or prescription drugs. Or the other problem is that their body clock has been reset and they wake up too early. So all of these manifest as problems, difficulty falling asleep and staying asleep. According to the Centers for Disease Control, insomnia is difficulty falling or staying asleep. This is a condition experienced by up to 30% of the general population. Almost a third of our population is having difficulty falling or staying asleep. And there is obviously an urgent need to understand how cannabis, cannabinoids inherent in the plant, can be used safely for sleep. Especially important when we consider that much of this 30% of the population are turning to other sources to help with that sleep problem: alcohol, over-the-counter drugs, and prescription drugs. 35% of adults report sleeping less than 7 hours in 24 hours. 35% of adults don't get the recommended 8 hours of sleep as prescribed by the CDC. Not only is alcohol being used to help with these sleep problems, these insomnia problems, there has been an increase in the number of sleep aids being used, especially over-the-counter and prescription sleep aids. We know that sleep aids in prescription land include benzodiazepines, hypnotics, and sedatives. The most famous of these is Ambien. How many times in the news have we read about an Ambien zombie? They went downstairs and made a peanut butter sandwich. They got in their car and drove to Taco Bell, and they woke up wondering, where am I? So Ambien and other hypnotics like that have side effects for potential for not only addiction, but drowsiness, decreased negative affect, meaning that the person feels like a zombie, that a negative affect is how you present in your mood. And does your mood match your inside? And when you're a flat affect or a negative affect, you feel like a zombie. You don't have any emotional control and emotional regulation or responses. We're also worried about these drugs causing respiratory depression, cancer, infection, injuries that could lead to death. What happens if our zombie driving to Taco Bell gets into an accident? Well, that's not a very good thing with our sleep aids. So we're very concerned on how to treat insomnia as an epidemic, and our current standard treatments of over-the-counter prescription drugs seem to do more harm than good because they're short-term solutions, and they could potentially cause long-term harms like cancer and death. We also worry that alcohol could be used to treat sleep disorders. Now we're talking about substituting the harms associated in prescription drug use and over-the-counter drug use with alcohol abuse. If you're using alcohol every night to help you fall asleep or stay asleep, that's going to accumulate over time. And pretty soon, you're going to find yourself in a substance use disorder situation. So neither of those options, the drugs nor the alcohol, seem to be a good fit for insomnia. And people are turning to cannabis to treat the insomnia problems. And so now we need to understand how all of this mix of both prescription, over-the-counter, and alcohol can be affected by cannabis use.
So everybody has heard of sleep apnea. What is obstructive sleep apnea?
Sleep apnea is the informal term in the medical community. We know this is obstructive sleep apnea because of the mechanical obstruction that causes apnea. What is apnea? Apnea is the absence of breathing. The absence of breathing doesn't naturally occur in humans when our drive is to breathe. And obstructive sleep apnea is a vasovagal response. So this is a inherent neurological reflex response to a part of our brain known as the medulla. As the vagal response sends feedback to the medulla increases, this sends a neurological stimulation that creates a range of secretions that relax the epiglottis, the epiglottal tissues. And when this relaxation occurs, the structures within your epiglottis where we breathe begin to relax. And this allows the drop causing obstruction, and that's what's associated with obstructive sleep apnea. The OSA population, the obstructive sleep apnea population, has increased risk factors for hypertension, diabetes, stroke, depression, and mortality because of the overall accumulated lack of oxygen, which sets up an inflammatory and immune response in the body known as oxidative stress. This is where the link to cannabis becomes very interesting, because we know that when you balance nerve impulses and when you balance the way that our body functions, we can maybe potentially treat conditions like obstructive sleep apnea. Not only does the sleep apnea population have increased risks for health conditions, we also know that this population has more healthcare utilization and costs. Healthcare utilization and costs associated with obstructive sleep apnea are double than those of their counterparts in both age, body mass index. And what we know is that over time, these destructive effects of lack of oxygen to these tissues is what eventually drives disease conditions all the way to increased mortality. We also have learned recently that the CPAP machines or the BiPAP machines, these are the positive airway pressure machines that can be used to force air into a person's body as they sleep. These machines are deadly, cumbersome, They're difficult to tolerate because it's a machine forcing air into you as you sleep. And so for that reason, there are low long-term adherence rates. The compliance rates for using this to counteract the lack of oxygen, people just give up. They're like, I'll find other solutions that don't include wearing a machine over my face every night. They're noisy. You have to consider travel. What if you travel with them? You've got to bring your machine with them. We have some friends that are going to be traveling with us out of the country, and one of the first things they ask is, can I bring my CPAP machine with me? These are things that create a very low adherence rate to using a potential. It's not even a resolution. It forces more oxygen into the person's body overnight to counteract. It's a Band-Aid. It doesn't fix the basic problem, which is that inappropriate vagal nerve response that creates a relaxation in the epiglottal area. The reason that I said these machines are deadly is because not many people know about the Philips incident. Philips has been recently under the microscope. Philips is, of course, the large medical, durable medical equipment company that has 29 models under recall of their positive airway pressure machines. And let you in on a little secret. Let's take a little trip back in time to June of 2021. In June of 2021, Philips issued a voluntary recall of many of its respiratory products. The CPAP machines, those are the continuous positive airway pressure machines, and their BiPAP positive airway pressure machines, bi-level positive airway pressure machines, even their ventilators were recalled in June of 2021. Why? They found that the foam in these machines that's used for noise deadening and for comfort eventually breaks down and releases particles of toxic chemicals that are either inhaled or swallowed by the individual. So in June of 2021, when the voluntary recall was announced by Philips, this instigated an investigation. Fast forward 2 years to September 2023, when an investigation into the Philips 29 models of their positive airway pressure machines revealed that they had evidence that its device were harming users for more than a decade before the recall was issued in 2021. Can you say unethical and deadly? For 10 years, Philips knew from 2010 or 2011 to 2021, particles within these machines were toxic and being inhaled and swallowed. And it wasn't until they were held accountable by the Department of Justice in 2023 that they were made to acknowledge that they knew of this problem with their machines, but yet they continued to sell them. It was only after the FDA had received 105,000 complaints that in June of 2021 prompted the recall. This included 385 deaths just in 2021 that were associated with the Philips models for obstructive sleep apnea. From September 2023 to January of 2024, Philips reached an agreement with the Department of Justice. What did this agreement do? It required that the company immediately stop selling the sleep and respiratory care devices. So it wasn't until January 2024 that they were made to stop all sales of their machines that were toxic. The agreement also laid out a series of steps that the company must take before they're allowed to begin selling the devices again. Oops, you made a mistake. Stop selling them. Reconfigure your machine, and then we'll talk about whether or not you're allowed to sell them. Well, what about the patients who were using them? What about them? Or what about the patients who were killed? There were no criminal or civil penalties assigned. What they were told to do was that they had to pay a $479 million in economic damage to users, meaning that there was a device payment award, meaning that we would recompensate you, reimburse you for how much you paid. We would give you an extra $100 if you return that device, and we would give you discounts toward a device replacement award. At no time did they ever acknowledge the harms associated with their selling of the device, nor did they acknowledge any monetary or civil criminal penalties for selling the device for 10 years without notifying of the dangers. This is highly unethical, and unfortunately, it is almost what we expect from our medical companies. We know this happens in the pharmaceutical world. Well, why shouldn't we expect it to happen in the device world as well? And Philips is a great example of this. We know in the pharmaceutical world, Pfizer, Moderna, the statins, the Sackler brothers and their opioid epidemic, all of these are the bad guys in the pharmaceutical world. It seems that Philips is now taking the lead on the bad guys in the medical device world. There are lawsuits now. There is actually a class action lawsuit. So if you do know someone who has been using one of these Philips devices, check your local legal authorities, your local legal resources, because there is a class action lawsuit with thousands of plaintiffs. They amassed over 755 pending cases that were consolidated into a class action lawsuit that's expected to go to trial in 2024. As the lawyers are, you know, put the lawyer on the case and he'll get the job done, because the lawyers are going to make out like bandits in this situation. The lawyers are finding that these conditions, asthma, coughing, sore throat, chronic headaches, cancer, sinus and throat and esophageal and kidney and liver cancer, these are all being caused by the toxins released from these BiPAP machines, these CPAP machines. So a PSA, a public service announcement. Check your BiPAP, your CPAP machines at home, and if they are Philips related, please stop using them immediately. If you know somebody using them, have them getting in touch with a legal authority, a legal representative might help, especially since we don't know long term what the conditions might, you know, what may happen over the lifetime of inhaling or swallowing these toxic products.
Cannabis Nurse Truths is brought to you by Hemp Haven Wellness. Let's face it, hemp is complex, coming in several different forms. You probably have many questions about the differences between cannabis and hemp, and why hemp can be used in numerous ways to treat well-being. At Hemp Haven, they have the knowledge and expertise to guide your selection of hemp-derived products to meet your wellness needs. Hemp Haven is owned and operated by America's cannabis nurse, Dr. Denise Foster. With Hemp Haven, fight insomnia, relieve headaches, relieve pain, improve your mood, promote relaxation, and more. Visit Hemp Haven in Chesapeake at 480 Kempsville Road, or visit them online at hemphavenwellness.com. That's hemphavenwellness.com. For the highest quality and safest products on the market, you want Hemp Haven Wellness. You mentioned, Dr. D, that people are turning to alcohol to help them sleep, which sounds completely counterintuitive.
Just that one glass of wine will help me relax.
But
then,
all the...
Then I'll fall asleep.
But then there's all the risks that come with alcohol consumption.
Now I need two glasses of wine to get me helping. Now I need a bottle of wine to help me fall asleep. And
right.
the pattern just is exacerbated by the stress that you go to bed with, that you wake up with. The concern is that in cannabis land, because it's legal, we can combine cannabis with alcohol, cannabis with over-the-counter sleep aids and prescription aids. And when we know that all of these, including cannabis, can create some psycho-impairing effects, we need to begin to understand how co-mingling them, co-using them, can either create a more harmful situation, or in the most beneficial way, can we use them to eliminate the other uses of sleep aids in the pharmaceutical and alcoholic world. Alcohol is concerning because it's a depressant. History tells us that there are many celebrities that have died of alcohol poisoning. It's unfortunate because alcohol is so readily available. Soccer games, sports arenas, you can't go to your family birthday parties without having a fridge full of alcohol or cooler full of alcohol. We have alcohol in our homes to help us relax and unwind and get ready for bed at the end of the day. So alcohol is endemic in our society, and many people immediately turn to it to help deal with stressors and help to improve sleep. Alcohol without cannabinoids, it can help you get drunk and fall asleep. That's the sleepy part of it. But the concern is it doesn't help you stay asleep. The more alcohol you use to help fall asleep, the more likely you are going to wake up in the middle of the night and try to get rid of that alcohol. That's why the room is spinning and why you get nauseous and you stumble down drunk. You should never be driving with alcohol in your system. So cannabis and alcohol co-use have been linked to many benefits. One of those is that they get higher quality of sleep. Because alcohol and cannabis have been studied as a co-use model, meaning that many of the individuals who are using alcohol are now also able to legally use some form of cannabis. Many of them are doing so, worrying that if I combine these two, am I going to overdose? Well, no, the answer is bearing out that sleep quality occurs better after cannabis is introduced, because now those individuals are showing that they're relying less heavily on those alcohol portions. They don't need as much alcohol, and even in some cases they're giving up alcohol completely to go to a cannabis only model, because it's showing that not only does the cannabis only model for sleep improve quality of sleep, it also gives you better rest and a better profile for the next day. We want to understand how cannabis use for sleep can provide long-term benefits. But research is already showing that use of both cannabis and alcohol can lead to diminished sleep-inducing effects, and withdrawal sleep issues have been observed mainly related to alcohol. People are giving up their alcohol, and it scares the crap out of the alcohol industry because alcohol doesn't make you feel good. Studies indicate that no amount of alcohol is beneficial for the body, and when you try to include it in a sleep treatment model, the risks highly outweigh the benefits. Not only do alcohol sales plummet in states where cannabis is introduced, more adults are turning to cannabis for sleep aids in states where it is legal. And we are now seeing that once cannabis dispensaries arrive in a state, sales of over-the-counter sleep aid market shares declined 236%. Even over-the-counter sleep aids become impractical, unusable, once individuals understand that cannabis can be used safely and appropriately. 18% of the most reported drugs used for sleep decrease in areas where cannabis use is legal, and 80% of medical cannabis users are now reporting that they're using their cannabis for sleep. This is the phenomenon, the trend that I'm seeing in our shop, is that more people are using pain conditions throughout the day for their own cannabis, either medical or recreational in states where it's legal. But at night, 80% of those using it for medical cannabis treatments are using it for sleep. That's a huge population. So if you consider that model that we follow the green line, not meaning green cannabis, green money, alcohol industries, over-the-counter, and prescription drug use industries are running scared because when cannabis is introduced into a state, these sales significantly decline.
Talk to me about the risks and the benefits for these cannabinoids.
We're going to consider these in comparison to alcohol, over-the-counter, and prescription drug use. We've already talked about how all of these can potentially lead to a dangerous situation. Even using the BiPAP machines and the CPAP machines can be dangerous long term. So when you consider the harm reduction model for why to use cannabis in the first place, it's immediately apparent that you're replacing harmful drug use and alcohol, substance use, and even machine use with a very beneficial product that will not cause overdose. It will not cause withdrawal intolerance when used in appropriate amounts, and it will actually create additional benefits in the body as these compounds do what? They balance the body's homeostasis. They help the body improve in its own regulatory mechanisms, and that is only better for those individuals who experience insomnia. Let's talk first about the risks. The risks are amazing to talk about, because one of the risks of using cannabis is it makes you sleepy and drowsy. Well, duh. That's why 80% of medical marijuana patients use it, is that they know without fail it is going to make them sleepy and drowsy. So isn't that why they want to use it in the first place? But that's listed as one of the adverse effects of using cannabis for sleep. It can provide a headache if you're using it inappropriately, and that's, of course, next to the THC use. We also know that THC drives the nausea, vomiting, dizziness, dry mouth, and red eyes associated with it. So it is the THC proportion that drives the adverse effects of using cannabis for sleep, and we're finding that finding the right dosage and the right amount for you and your body's needs helps to lower those risks associated with those adverse effects. If we are able to find a ratio of THC to the other cannabinoids that can help you promote a better quality of sleep while preventing headaches, nausea, vomiting, etc., this is where you find what we call the sweet spot. Your sweet spot is very individual to you based on genetics, metabolism. Did you eat a salad before bed? Did you eat a big cheesy pizza before bed? At what time are you taking it? Do you fall asleep faster? Are you somebody that needs to take it, you know, early on or later in the day? Whatever. So all of these adjusting dosages are why cannabis professionals like cannabis nurses are so important. That's why we've been working with so many people in our shop, to help them find the dose that works just the right way for them. Tolerance and tolerability are always a concern. We also associate THC with tolerance effects. This is why you can use one glass of wine at first to help you sleepy, and then you need two, and then eventually you need the whole bottle. Tolerance is something only associated with the THC molecule. Research has shown that 10 milligrams per day, back to the maximum amount that we recommend for any medicinal use, 10 milligrams a day will provide an overall satisfying experience with the quality of sleep. Another thing that we're worried about with THC is the munchies. THC is the only molecule in cannabis that will cause you to have the munchies. You feel like you need to eat. Researchers are now showing that even at that 10 milligram a day level, there are no weight changes after 6 weeks. It's not like you're going to wake up in the middle of the night and go raid your cupboard for the Doritos. So using a 10 milligram maximum for sleep is a great way to help with the effects that are associated with insomnia. When you use cannabinoids for sleep, you seem to fall asleep faster. You have a much deeper, relaxing type of sleep. You get longer REM sleep, the rapid eye movement sleep, which means you have longer periods of deep sleep. One study showed that it could increase 8 minutes of your REM sleep. 8 minutes in REM sleep is a very long duration for a deep sleep, because we have sleep cycles that go from light sleep all the way to deep sleep and then back, as we both fall asleep into our most deepest sleep, and should be in the middle of the night. And then we begin to wake up as the sun begins to change. Cannabinoids can reduce the need for sedatives and other hypnotics. Now we're reducing the harms associated with those, and we're also reducing the amount of drug-drug interactions that can come from using combinations of that, including alcohol. Many of the alcohol-related deaths were regarding combinations of sedatives, hypnotics, anti-anxieties, antidepressants with alcohol, and in the middle of the night, all of these created a respiratory depression effect in the brain, and the person died in their sleep, or they vomited in their sleep and weren't able to control it, and they aspirated it, causing them to lose air. So all of these will provide a better harm reduction benefit by reducing the need for either alcohol or drug use to sleep. One of the best things known about using cannabis for sleep is that it is not associated with a hangover effect. Hangover effect, there you go. The hangover effect is alcohol. Is that an alcohol feeling? You feel just drugged out the next day. And this can even occur when we use over-the-counter drugs like Benadryl or melatonin. Synthetic melatonin is not the same melatonin that your body makes. Melatonin is a hormone in our body that is released during our deepest types of sleep. And this melatonin is what we try to replicate when we buy over-the-counter melatonin. But even it will create a hangover effect the next day because more people will become tolerant to it. Yeah, melatonin might work for you for the first couple weeks, first couple months. But then your body says, this isn't the melatonin we make. And now you need more, causing a tolerance. And the more melatonin that you put into your body, the more likely you're going to have this hangover effect. None of the over-the-counter or prescription drugs or alcohol seem to stop working after a certain time. Cannabinoids will run their course and they will not create this hangover effect unless you're using too much THC, which is why dose-dependent, individualized doses that create the specific amount that you need in THC, it should be less than 10 milligrams, and we can avoid the hangover effect associated with many of our other types of sleep aids.
Cannabis Nurse Truths is brought to you by Hemp Haven Wellness. Let's face it, hemp is complex, coming in several different forms. You probably have many questions about the differences between cannabis and hemp, and why hemp can be used in numerous ways to treat well-being. At Hemp Haven, they have the knowledge and expertise to guide your selection of hemp-derived products to meet your wellness needs. Hemp Haven is owned and operated by America's cannabis nurse, Dr. Denise Foster. With Hemp Haven, fight insomnia, relieve headaches, relieve pain, improve your mood, promote relaxation, and more. Visit Hemp Haven in Chesapeake at 480 Kempsville Road, or visit them online at hemphavenwellness.com. That's hemphavenwellness.com. For the highest quality and safest products on the market, you want Hemp Haven Wellness. Let's talk about the methods of administrating these cannabinoids for help with sleep.
Even in our obstructive sleep apnea population, we've shown that when individuals begin to use cannabis, they actually improve their oxygenation at night. So apnea is the absence of breathing or the absence of air, the absence of oxygenation. And when using cannabis over a long period of time, these individuals will improve their oxygenation during the night. Now we're reducing those risk factors associated with obstructive sleep apnea. The cannabinoids that you select are the most significant. And the one right now that is the most popular for sleep is THC. Studies that have been done using THC within combinations of different cannabinoids have shown that, yes, they have great effects. And if we keep it to a 10 milligram or under dosage, we seem to have a better synergism, a better potentiality, meaning that these two compounds work together better than if you were to just use THC alone. The number one way that we're seeing that individuals use cannabis for sleep is smoking and vaping. This makes sense because most people report having difficulty falling asleep. So let's put those individuals who have trouble falling asleep into one category where they are more than likely going to use either a smoking or vaping situation, because you're now talking a very quick onset. When you smoke or vaporize cannabis, including THC, you're going to have an effect within 20 minutes. Getting sleepy, based on the cannabinoid profiles, including THC and the terpenes. So it makes sense that those individuals who have trouble falling asleep are going to smoke it or vape it, because they know within a very short period of time, they're going to start feeling the effects that are going to cause them to be drowsy. Remember, that's one of the side effects. Then the other side are the camp that has trouble staying asleep. These individuals seem to be trending toward edibles or oils. Edibles and oils are going to be metabolized differently in the body. They are first going to be digested or distributed to those tissues that need them for this effect. In this case, sleep. In a digestion, now we're also talking about other factors, metabolism, genetics, back to the cheesy piece of pizza, and when did you eat it and when did you use your cannabis for sleep? Did you take your edible? But we do know that edibles and oils have a longer duration. cannabis smoking and vaping as a gas, it is going to dissipate much quicker. We anticipate that within 2 hours maximum, you will lessen the effects of the THC that has been smoked or vaped. So by the third hour, it is still in your body in the form of metabolites, but the symptoms or the effects associated with THC use have already dissipated because of the atmospheric, the atmospheric changes. Therefore, smoking cannabis, vaping cannabis will not keep you asleep. Those individuals who are looking for a long duration of sleep will use an edible, because now it's going to take at least an hour for that edible to digest, then be distributed and metabolized throughout the body. And now you're talking up to a 4 to 6 hour duration of effects, which can potentially, the first phase, you're smoking, and now you've got your first 1 to 2 hours of sleepiness to getting asleep covered, and then your edible kicks in to where now you are covered for the rest of the night, hopefully achieving that 8 hour of sleep that is recommended. One of the most common questions in our shop is, can I both smoke it and eat it to help me go to sleep? And the answer is yes. This is what separates cannabis from either alcohol. I mean, you're going to have to drink that whole bottle of wine to get an effect, and that's not even going to keep you asleep at night. And much different than our pharmaceutical and over-the-counter profile, because you only take that one pharmaceutical or that one Benadryl before you go to bed. Please don't wake up in the middle of the night and take another. But because people do that, let's be real, because people do that, I have customers, clients who come into the shop and say, I wake up and pop another Ambien and get another 2 or 3 hours of sleep. Please stop doing that. The nice thing about these cannabis compounds is that you can combine them in different methods of administration, meaning that you can use a smoking or a vapor, if that's what you choose to do, to help you fall asleep. And then you can also include an edible before you go to bed, 30 minutes to an hour before you go to bed, to help you stay asleep all night long. None of these compounds are going to have drug-drug interactions, because they come from the same plant. They live together in the plant, so they interact together without any adverse effects from interaction, known as side effects because of the interactive properties. They are based individual, which is why you work with a cannabis health professional, like a cannabis nurse, to help you adjust your dosages, especially in relation to THC. We don't want to ever see anybody going over 10 milligrams for sleep. Now we're heading into dangerous intoxication territory and hangover effects the next day. We're finding that as we consider the dosages, the maximum that we would want to use is 10 milligrams, but we can also combine that with different cannabinoids. The two that are most commonly combined with THC are CBD, cannabidiol, and another compound called CBN, cannabinol. Fun fact about cannabinol. Let's say that you were a teenager, and you know, this is back in the old school days when we were, you know, teenagers in the 1970s, and you scored some weed from your local guy, and you knew your mom was going to clean your room, so you made sure that you hid your weed really well. 9 months later, you're cleaning your room or you're looking for something, and you find that bag of weed. You say, I'm going to smoke that weed. That weed is more than likely going to be guaranteed to make you feel sleepy and go to sleep. We now know that the compound THC that causes impairment over time breaks down as a biological molecule into CBN, cannabinol. Understanding that cannabinol is just old THC, but without the impairing effects, is what makes it so very popular as a sleep aid. It's going to give you the sleepy effects that we find in cannabis, especially in those varieties, those strains, those chemovars, that's what we're calling them now, chemovars that are associated with sleepiness. In cannabis land, we call this your indicas, indica, indicouch. Indicas seem to have more of the CBN cannabinoid concentrations than other types of varieties, which then explains why they make you sleepy and relaxed. So when you're combining THC with either CBD or CBN, you're going to be using it in combinations based on what the compound product is. If you're using smoking or vaping, more than likely, you're only going to be getting large doses of THC. We don't have the technology yet to specifically say, I only want this amount of CBD or this amount of CBN in the plant. It comes with the plant. So individuals who understand what is in their plants, let's say you are working with your cannabis dispensary individual, you're working with a cannabis nurse, and you come to me and say, I need something for sleep. Well, these are my choices in the flowers or in the vape products, and we're going to be looking for something that has high levels of CBN or a preferred profile of CBD. And that's how we can drive a specific effect that's going to match your needs to make you fall asleep better and help you stay asleep longer. But that's a flower or a vape. When we extract the cannabinoids, especially from what I do, we extract them legally from hemp. We can now ratio these cannabinoids. Cannabinoids can be ratioed for their benefits, but we're finding overall that a THC maximum of 10 milligrams per dose seems to be sufficient. A THC to CBN dose could be something as 10 milligrams to 5 milligrams, making it a 2-to-1 dosage. This formulation in studies have shown that it increased deep sleep, REM sleep, by 22 minutes a night. Wow. 20 extra minutes of deep sleep just by providing a benefited ratio of 10 milligrams of THC to 5 milligrams of CBN. This is providing benefits for wellness beyond what we can now measure, because as these individuals will use this type of combination, we still need to examine, will tolerance eventually kick in? Will withdrawal concerns be affected? Because what happens if this person decides after 6 months or whatever to stop using this combination? These are the research studies that need to go on. We can combine it in a flipped ratio. One study in 2022 from Australia showed that 15 milligrams of CBD to 10 milligrams of THC, so that would be a 1.5-to-1 ratio. We're still using the 10 milligrams of THC, but now we've increased it to 1.5 of CBD versus CBN. They showed that the midnight melatonin levels of the person's own melatonin were significantly increased. And after just 2 weeks of use of this ratio of CBD to THC, these individuals were no longer diagnosed with clinical insomnia, meaning that their sleep habits had been reformed and they were reporting better sleep quality, better sleep duration, and they reported increases in light sleep that measured 21 minutes improvement in that cycle. So in two different measures, two cannabinoids, CBD and CBN, improved both the light cycles of sleep and the deep cycles of sleep, giving the person increased and improved nighttime sleep overall quality. The last study I'll mention about CBD came to us just last year in 2023, where they removed THC from the equation altogether. This study investigated 150 milligrams of CBD used in an oil sublingually 60 minutes before bed for 2 weeks. And within those 2 weeks, the CBD users reported greater well-being, elevated behavior following wakefulness, and superior objective sleep efficiencies after only 2 weeks of using CBD at 150 milligrams every night. This is a phenomenon that we have also experienced in our shop. Individuals will come in and they'll say, yes, I can use THC. The driving factor here is job security. We don't want people to lose their jobs because they're testing positive for THC in some individual employment cases. We're still in prohibition land in that model. So let's say you are in prohibition land when you are nowhere able to use THC to help you sleep. This study using the CBD alone model has given us, I guess what you would say, proof of concept, because those individuals are steered toward a CBD only model because we don't want them testing positive for THC. And they come to us, and we've been calling this a brightening effect. This is an effect to where we cannot quantify this effect because it's beyond our measure. Social sciences are restricted in the fact that we can't measure things. You know, we can measure miles, we can measure weight, but we can't measure how you feel. We can maybe measure the number of neurons or the number of receptors, but how does that correlate with how do you feel? So when you're measuring social science elements like how you feel or how you are sleeping better, these are self-reported measures. And there's always going to be an inherent discrepancy or an inherent inability to specifically identify it. But we can assign names to these trends, this phenomenon. And the phenomenon that we're associating with feeling better, just feeling more wakeful and more focused and objectively better measures overall, we call this brightening effect in our shop. The brightening effect happens mainly using the cannabinoids that are not THC. In the previous episode, we talked about autism and how we want to use more of the CBD-CBDV combinations because this will affect the neurological impairments associated with autism. But one of the side effects of using these compounds is it seems to give an individual a brighter effect. It has a ability to help them focus, to help them concentrate, to help them begin to reduce or in some cases eliminate the impairment that was occurring. And this seems to happen also in CBD used for sleep aid. CBN stands for cannabinol. It is just one of the many compounds we find in cannabis, including the flavonoids and the terpenes. All of these combine together in a whole plant model that we try to replicate when we extract them. We can't because we know that there's an entourage effect that when you use the whole plant, things happen that we can't yet measure. We don't understand because it's a plant. What we do know is that when we consider using the cannabinoids, the terpenes, to drive an effect, we can begin to tailor a profile of treatment based on the effects that are desired. In this case, every sleep profile, every cannabinoid sleep profile should include CBN. CBN was first discovered in the 1930s, believe it or not. So we've known about this molecule, but it has just recently been investigated for its ability to create a restful sleep condition. CBN is one of the compounds derived from the cannabis plant, and it is metabolized or broken down by the degradation of THC. In the most recent period, just last year alone, CBN is now being investigated for how it contributes to not only sleep, but how it has cancer-fighting properties, how it affects other neurological and metabolic functions. In one study conducted by Bon Miller in 2023, CBN alone was given at 20 milligrams for 7 consecutive nights. And after that, CBN showed differences in sleep quality. Sleep quality in these individuals was improved. It significantly reduced the number of awakenings and overall sleep disturbances through the night. It had no impact on daytime fatigue, meaning that there were no hangover impairment effects. And interestingly enough, the addition of CBD in this study did not positively augment the CBN treatment effects, meaning that CBN alone was enough to improve the overall sleep quality of these individuals using it. In this study, a majority of the participants, 82% of them, decided that they were only going to be using cannabis from then on. They were no longer going to be using any over-the-counter drugs or prescription drugs as sleep aids. We're back to that follow the green. These individuals are no longer going to be visiting their pharmacy or their doctor for refills on prescriptions to help them sleep. They're no longer going to also be visiting their local ABC stores or convenience stores to buy alcohol for sleep. This ties in with the understanding that in every state where cannabis is legalized, CBN is one of the compounds that are able to be used legally. And therefore, it explains why the sales of these other sleep aids begin to plummet. The last study I want to talk about not only describes how cannabis can be used for sleep, but it also shows that there is a level of education in our population that is increasing in relation to cannabis use. This study from Stuber in 2023, while it showed that higher concentrations of vaporized CBD was associated with a greater percentage of insomnia relief, these individuals were visiting their dispensaries and asking for CBD as part of their cannabis treatment for sleep. They showed that high THC products for sleep and non-naive cannabis users considered the specific cannabinoids, including terpenes, to help drive their sleep effect. I've mentioned terpenes before. Terpenes are the essential oils associated with all plants. For instance, terpene known as pinene is found in pine needles, pine resin, pine trees. Pinene is a stimulating terpene. It provides focus and energy and concentration. So those plant varieties that have pinene as part of their profile will be more of the alerting and stimulating sativa type of plant. Whereas linalool is a terpene found in lavender. Linalool is associated with a relaxing, calming, and tranquilizing effect. Linalool is found in higher percentages in those varieties that are associated with relaxation and sleep, such as the indicas that were mentioned before. Myrcene is the terpene found in hops and lemongrass, my favorite scent. Myrcene is relaxing, is calming, is tranquilizing. Myrcene in hops is the reason why your hoppy beers help you relax, and it's why individuals are drawn to hoppy-type beer because of the fact that it has large amounts of myrcene in it, which makes them feel good as they drink the alcohol. Stuber's study not only indicated that individuals were becoming more educated about their selection of cannabinoids for sleep, they also understood that terpenes like myrcene could be also used to drive a synergism effect that would promote more sedation, more relaxation, more tranquilizing effects, and therefore they became what we're going to be calling connoisseur. Connoisseurs are becoming educated about how to combine these compounds and get the maximum benefits while minimizing the harmful effects. How do you become a connoisseur yourself? Well, you can listen to this program, or you can visit your friendly neighborhood professional cannabis nurse, because all nurses are now are tasked with understanding how these compounds work. As we have wine connoisseurs and sommeliers, this is the relationship that our population is becoming elevated to in relation to cannabis knowledge and practice. Overall, in the research studies that have been conducted on using cannabis for sleep, majorities across every study report that they're getting at least the recommended 6 to 8 hours of sleep with cannabinoids alone, eliminating prescription drug use, over-the-counter drug use, and alcohol use. And less than 20% of them were reporting that they were getting sleep with any of these other elements. So it seems that there is a shift occurring in the United States, and maybe in the next couple years, we'll see this epidemic related to sleep and insomnia issues decrease as more connoisseurs become educated about how they can use these compounds safely and appropriately. With the help of your friendly cannabis nurse.
She is Dr. Denise Foster. She's your cannabis nurse. New podcasts every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts. Visit the website, cannabisnursetruths.com. Find us on Spotify, Google, iTunes, wherever. And also follow us on X. We're at Canna Podcast. CannaPodcast. Episode 13 in the books. Thank you for listening.